Hello and welcome back to a new episode of the Time Podcast, the first one of season four, actually. And I couldn't be more excited to start season four with the one, the only French person a German has ever utterly liked. Please welcome loud, proud, and colorful Arnaud. Yay! Hi, Timo. Welcome back, Arnaud. Thanks for doing another season with me.
It's the best welcome you've ever given me. Like, oh my God, I feel so, so happy. Thank you for that. Welcome to season four. I'm so happy to start that season with you again. And today we have a really special guest. We have Daryl Dixon, who is the marketing manager at Globetrotter Corporate Travel in WA. Welcome, Daryl. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm very well. Thank you.
Hey, Daryl. Nice. Welcome on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime. I'm especially proud that you join us because Arnaud has asked you to join.
Yes. I'm the one who asked you to join. And look, you know, I've been asking Daryl, we've known each other for a little while, back when he used to work at Singapore Airlines. And when I saw that he was going to be on the Time program, was very excited, and then from the beginning I said to him, like, you need to come on the podcast once you graduated. So, you know, like, it's been, I planted the seeds quite a long time ago, so I'm really excited that he's here today.
What actually made you join Time? Like, what did you think about the program to start with? Was it Arnaud?
No, he wishes. No, I've been thinking about it for a while. I'd had a couple of leadership roles in travel before, but really just being there at a matter of circumstance rather than having the skills to be a leader. So I think I wish I'd done this a lot sooner when I was, when I started getting exposure to leadership roles. So I'm a marketing manager now at Globetrotter, and I think it's the next step in my career journey just to get some more leadership development and goal setting and that sort of thing with the Time mentoring covers.
For you, the purpose was more about getting like the people leadership skills or how to set successful KPIs for a team, or can you give a bit more context to your preferred outcome when you started?
It was probably more about self-awareness. Like a lot of the focus of my mentoring sessions were, we would discuss my week and we'd look at, sometimes I'd be frustrated or annoyed at a situation, and we'd take a step back and look at why that frustrated me or annoyed me and how I could get a more positive outcome from that situation. Also looking at how different people behave, like not everyone behaves the same. So really analyzing that just because someone might speak a little more abruptly than I'm used to doesn't mean that they're not a negative person or feel badly about you. So yeah, a lot about self-awareness in my journey.
And who was your mentor, if you want to share that with us?
My mentor was Margaret Armitage. She's a leadership and professional development coach for a company called Beckon Business. So this is her, she does this every day. She's not in the travel industry, and she really, this is her speciality, getting the best out of potential leaders and unlocking their potential.
What was so the...
Sounds like you had intense 6 months.
What was the relationship like between the two of you? Because like when you describe her, basically that she does that every day, what was your mindset in when you went into the first meeting?
Well, like Timo said, it was intense. It was very intense. And I thought it would just be, we'd catch up for coffee, chat about things, set a few goals, and that it would be pretty relaxed thing, but it was far from that. It was very intense, very full on. She really made me think and pushed me out of my comfort zone. And some days she'd ask me a question and I'd be like, I actually don't know. I need a few minutes to think about this. And so really challenged my thinking. And she was more like a psychologist for want of a better word, but yeah, I almost felt like I was in a counseling session every fortnight, which was great. It was really, really good.
I think what's always interesting is, you know, you have those light bulb moments where you kind of experience yourself from in hindsight or from the outside, however you want to call it, and you see yourself doing things and you suddenly understand yourself much better. Maybe not a professional example, but for example, when Arnaud goes to get his croissants in the morning and he dresses up sometimes a bit funny, you know, that's, it just tells you a lot about him being a very easy, accessible person that still has a bit of, you know, French blood in his veins and a lot of feedback about the baking of croissants to be listened to in season 3. Anyhow, back to you. Did you have like a light bulb slash croissant moment?
Not really. I think, oh, no, I lie. I probably had a lot of light bulb moments. It was, I think, but 20 years ago, I had a leadership role when I was at another corporate travel management company where I was promoted to supervisor and ops manager. And that we went through so many things that I wish I had known that then. I wasn't really set up for success in that role. So I was just promoted because I was I'd been there the longest and I was the most knowledgeable, but I didn't have the people skills to make a really successful role. Everyone loved me in the team, but when you're a manager, it's not about everyone loving you. It's about getting the best out of everyone. And a lot of the light bulb moments came around things that I wish I'd known then. I can't really implement, I'm a one person marketing team at Globetrotter, so I can't implement that at this stage. But it's definitely skills that I'll have in the back of my toolkit for the future. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very important what you're describing, because I find that, you know, but it works across every single industry. And yeah, I worked in the events space a few years ago. We used to do a lot of leadership events, and a lot of people were highlighting the fact that the person who is the most technically skilled in the team is probably not the best leader. Or sometimes he's not always, you know, also the best leader. He can be the most skilled person and know everything and be very good at their job. But managing people or being a leader is a very, very different set of skills. And yeah, I mean, sometimes a lot of organizations don't really understand that, and they promote people in leadership roles, and that creates a lot of frustration and also sometimes a little bit of failure, right? And it's also failure can probably be a good thing for and people see that as a good thing in certain circumstances, but sometimes it doesn't have that positive effect. So
exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. How has the format worked for you? So I know some people, they have more like, I don't know, full weekends, leadership weekends or something like that, where you learn skills about leadership. Time is obviously a bit of a longer time frame. And then, I don't know, weekly, an hour or fortnightly, 2 hours, depending on how people organize themselves. So first of all, how have you organized it with your mentor? Have you met in person, online, phone? And second of all, what do you think of the format versus a crash course 4-day leadership course with Tony Robbins, for example?
Well, Margaret and I met fortnightly. 90% of our catch-ups were in person at a coffee shop. So we'd catch up for breakfast and coffee for a couple of hours every Tuesday or Thursday. And we did a couple remotely when we weren't feeling 100% and didn't want to give each other our germs. I really liked the longer program because we could look at things that came up during my work week over a particular time. So I could actually, if something came up during the week, I'd make a note of it and that would lead my discussion for the next session. Or I'd go away, think about what we discussed and the ideas we discussed, and then I'd have a chance to put them into practice or think about questions might have popped up after that didn't pop up during the session. So I really liked having that little bit of time between each session to think about it and come back and revisit or explore new ideas.
Mm-hmm. Was there croissant involved in your breakfast meetings, or what kind of food did you eat?
Just for the record, before you answer that, I didn't bring it up this time. It was Arnaud.
I sadly can't eat gluten, so there were no croissants on my menu.
Oh my gosh.
It's
Can you
so
imagine?
bad. I know.
No, I can't imagine.
One thing I know and I hear quite a bit is people having concerns about making time for time. It's obviously a time commitment every fortnight or weekly, depending on the setup. We all have very busy jobs. We're still rebuilding an industry from a skills and employee perspective. How did you go with actually taking that time aside? Was it a real effort? Did it kind of work out easily? What was your experience with scheduling all the work?
It worked out very easily. It's only 2 hours in a fortnight, so it didn't really impact me a great deal. I would meet her a little bit earlier in my work morning, so I probably an hour earlier than I'd normally start work. So it really only impacted me 1 hour a week, 1 hour a fortnight overall. But it didn't impact me at all in terms of time.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Now, I think once people are actually in it, it's always not as bad as they think before. Yeah. And how's it
Definitely.
for you? I know you're in a quite busy period at the moment. How would you manage cutting out 2 hours a fortnight?
Look, I've always think, and it's a thing for every aspect of your life. If you really want to do it, you'll find the time. It's the same thing when people say to you, "Oh, I want to lose weight," and then they don't have the time for that. Or, "I want to go to the gym," but then they say they don't have the time for that. If you're really committed to it, you're always fine. Because the thing is that also, like these days, we get distracted about so many things. You know, like if you think about the hour that you spend on your phone in the morning being on whatever social media platform, stuff like that, you know, like that, no, but that time could have been utilized at something which is a little bit more rewarding. And I think that, you know, like Daryl says, having a 1 hour out of his morning before work and 1 hour into his work week a fortnight, it's really not much.
Did you just use the gym example because I had carbs for lunch?
Did you have carbs for
Did you have
lunch?
carbs for lunch? What is wrong with you?
Daryl, he can't eat gluten. I feel really sorry for him because he can't enjoy, you know, proper croissant, you know.
Pass on, I know.
That's actually a very tough one. So you graduated recently and you came to Sydney for a beautiful function. I heard it wasn't too terrible. That was kind of your first working meeting and with the time community, or did you go to a few before?
Well, it was my first during this mentoring program. When I was at Singapore Airlines, I went to a couple of time events here in Perth, but we don't really have much of a time community here anymore, so there wasn't the opportunity this time around. But would be good to build the network here. But yes, it was my first networking slash graduation event that I'd had the pleasure of going to. So it was nerve-wracking preparing my speech. But when I got there, everyone was so supportive and yeah, it was a really great night.
Nice. So, tell me the moment you walked in, you kind of saw all the people there. I'm not sure if you came early or late, or I don't know how full the room was when you arrived. Because I find it always very daunting when you join a new community or you see people for the first time all in the room and you have a feeling you walk in and just everyone is a foreigner, a stranger to you, and you just don't know what's the feel, what's the vibe, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. Do you know, shirtless, non-shirtless, sleeveless? I mean, sorry, not shirtless.
I'm not sure today, just saying.
Today you wear a shirt. Yes, thank you, Arnold. Today you're wearing a shirt. We appreciate that. Yeah, so tell me, what was your first impression walking into that room?
Well, I didn't have any expectations. So when I thought, oh, there's going to be 200 chairs in the room and I'm going to have to stand up the front and there's going to be an army of people. And so when I went into the meeting room and it wasn't as bad as I expected. So I saw all the chairs lined up. I was like, yep, cool, I can deal with this. And then we had the mentees meeting. There was only about 10 of us. I thought, oh yeah, this is nice. A little chit chat, talk about our experience. Then we went in for the workshop, which was amazing. And I was looking around and I was like, yeah, this I can do the this is all right, not many people. And then everyone arrived for the actual event. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's so many people now. But I purposefully sat at the front so that while all the other speeches were happening, I wasn't distracted by who was behind and who was in front of me. So when I got up, it was just like, yep, the lectern's there, and just got straight into my speech. So, but it was, once you're in the moment, it's fine. I find it's always a lead up to making that sort of presentation in front of lots of people you don't know. And yeah, I was just like the international exchange student coming across, I didn't know many people in the room. So whereas some of my fellow mentees had already been to a couple of events, knew a few people, my mentor wasn't there. So a lot of the other mentors were there to have someone to hold on to, but it was great. I really enjoyed it.
So you mentioned the workshop. Have you done any other workshops before online with the whatever technology has been used in these days?
No, I did. There's been a couple that I've been keen on attending, but they haven't been published online as well. So I know there was one on LinkedIn a while ago that I had hoped would be online. But yeah, I believe they're just for those in attendance at the moment. So, but it'd be great once they're available remotely for people that can't make it.
I think the plan is moving forward anyway to have obviously predominantly in person. Of course, I think we would agree that the quality and the outcome is a bit better than another workshop that you have on Zoom or whatever you use, but definitely also have some and probably more to connect everyone in the different states to give the opportunity to see, hey, who's actually on from Western Australia? What's their experience? How's Victoria doing? And so on. Because it's really great to see all the states becoming so active as well. Besides NSW. So yeah, that's really encouraging to see, and definitely more workshops coming there that will be online as well, for sure.
That'd be good.
So what's your time after time with time? This is a great question. You should write that down.
Well, I'd really like to work with Charlie Trevina is leading the mentoring, the time program here in WA. So I'd really like to work with her to start rebuilding. We had an amazing time community before COVID, so it'd be really great to rebuild that. We still don't have a lot of supplier representations in WA. A lot of our representatives are in Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria. They come over here time to time. So, but it'd be good to touch base with those that are still in the industry and rebuild that community and get some new mentees in. I think having some workshops and virtual things available will be really beneficial. Just from my experience, having to come over for the graduation was a very expensive exercise. Luckily, I was coming over for Taylor Swift anyway, but it can add up quite quickly. So yeah, having those, and it was good being able to do the induction virtually. That was great. Because at that time it was when travel was coming back, and to fly to Sydney for that week, those couple of days was over $2,500. So that was, thankfully it started to slow down, but having those virtual opportunities would be really good.
So it actually made sense that I called Taylor and asked her to schedule the concert around your graduation. Was that beneficial to what I'm hearing?
Thank you. Yes.
It's my pleasure. We love to help where we can, you know? I mean, a lot of graduates actually don't know, but the time after time, there's so many opportunities to still involve yourself. One would be actually to do a workshop yourself in Western Australia for potential mentees. If you quickly think about that, what kind of topic would you run? What's the wisdom you can spread into the industry? That's a very good question. Write it down as well, Anu, please.
Oh, my gosh. I guess my speciality is social media marketing. That's what I excel in. So I guess I could always – that's what I was keen to experience, the LinkedIn workshop that happened recently, because that's really my forte. I'd love to – if I was to do a workshop, that's the sort of thing that I'd really like to present that I'm comfortable with. So, yeah, around social media marketing, specifically LinkedIn.
Which is very interesting, because from my experience, sorry, I know I let you also talk and I always nut you off. I was just always taking a breath and I just jump in straight away.
No, go.
But everything around social media and LinkedIn and self-marketing in a certain form is always where a lot of people feel uncomfortable with, unsure what exactly to do, what not to do. I know has gone viral once with his business class seat for Finnair, was it?
Yes.
I know, what's your, oh my God, what's your intake on the learnings out of your time with time in regards to socials?
I've got a lot of thoughts on this, because the thing is that I speak to still some people that really don't understand the importance of having like a social presence, and it doesn't have to be like overpowering, but it needs to be there. And yes, I mean, especially in terms of like acquisition of new customers and all that sort of stuff. And I think that a lot of people don't really understand that. And also the cost affordability that it has. Yes, it can be a costly exercise if you don't really know what you're doing, or you don't understand your audience and how you can fine tune it. But I find that it can potentially be a lot more cost effective in order to acquire new customers, rather than using traditional methods of advertising. And also, I think it's a lot more personable. I find that, obviously you're talking about the experience that I had with Finnair with the launch of that new seat when we had like a couple of years ago. A lot of people then saw that and then they were intrigued about it. And, in my mind, that was a success because I didn't necessarily try to sell them anything, but at least they saw that seat. And then now that seat fly into Sydney a couple of times, I think it's every day now. Because Qantas is doing a wet lease with all these planes. And so people experience that. But, in the meantime, I had done all that grunt work. So people, were exposed to what it was. So, yeah, I think people don't necessarily need to be afraid that, a social presence is something complicated
Yeah, no, I agree. And Daryl, how do we go viral? Tell us all about it. You're the expert. So,
right now, just hashtag Taylor Swift and you'll go viral.
Oh, my God. Really?
any post, yeah.
Any post.
I posted a couple of reels from the concert last weekend, and my reels on my personal page don't get that much traction, but one of the videos has over 100,000 views at the moment. So, the algorithm's very difficult now. The social networks prioritize paid content. So it's always hard to get your organic content seen. Just stick with it .
Consistency is key.
And the most important thing is for people to get to know your brand. So my focus at Globetrotter is for the three businesses that we run, get people to get to know our staff. So I'm always highlighting our employees, and with our team are traveling around the world, events they're going to and things like that, because people buy from people at the end of the day. Like they can see the name, but if they see the faces and get to know the personalities, that's half the battle won.
Agreed. So who do you think should do time? Like, obviously you had a desire to learn more about leadership and explore yourself as a leader. What about other opportunities? Like, who should do time in your opinion?
Oh, I think anyone, absolutely anyone. Even if you don't have leadership aspirations, you might find that you actually do. Or if you think you have leadership aspirations, you might find you actually don't. So I think it's really good for your development and future, even down to goal setting, identifying skill gaps. We did a lot of exercises around perception and context. So there's so much you can learn. And having that exposure to someone in the industry or out the industry, you can always learn from people. So I think absolutely anyone should do it.
And do you think it's a one-time thing, or is it something you would do maybe again in 2, 3, or 4 years, whatever it is?
I would actually love to do it in a couple of years again, and with someone in the industry this time. So maybe to see how the program differs.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know, are you considering doing a second time?
I'm considering doing a second time, yes. Maybe not at the moment, but yeah, I'm thinking like in the next 12 months, I'll probably do it a second time. I wanted to know that in terms of your organization, Daryl, like what's the level of support that you got from them during this journey? Were they fully on board? Is that something that to tell us a little bit about how they supported that, if they
Oh,
did.
extremely supportive. My CEO, Fiona, is a mentor as well. So she's been through the program a few times as a mentor. So she was fully supportive and very excited that I was part of the program. So I always felt supported, and the time out of the office was no issue at all.
Have you inspired others in at GlobeTrotter to do the same?
Well, that's my next step. I've got a couple of Melbourne-based colleagues who I think would be perfect, and some Perth-based colleagues. So especially we have some team leaders in the team who I think would be really good, really be good for their development journey to take that next step. So yeah, I'll definitely be recommending it to them.
In your master plan to grow the time community again in WA, make WA great again,
Yes.
that could be a good start.
Definitely. Yeah.
And after WA, it's all about world domination, right?
It is,
Rather,
exactly.
that's Taylor Swift. I know that's how we achieve it. Oh boy, that is so bad. It's time to talk about you a little bit more. So in season three, there was a new element implemented as part of the regular questions we ask. And we kind of want to continue on a successful pathway to make sure people learn about you as well. So for whatever reason, it came from the French side of this podcast, not from
Of
the German side.
course, yeah, of course. It always comes on the French side.
We could discuss this statement now with a lot of anyhow. So Arno always wants to know what is one of your darkest secrets you haven't told anyone, because it's just the three of us and Tay Tay. I thought it's a good opportunity to talk about it.
Enough
Oh my
thousands of
God.
listeners.
What are my darkest secrets?
Something about you which is a little bit, unique that not a lot of people know. Something like, have you actually met with Tay Tay in the in back backstage last time you went to see her in concert?
I haven't met Tay Tay, but I did meet Beyonce in 2009 after one of her concerts in Perth, and I have a photo with Beyonce in her dressing room.
Wow.
So yeah,
How did
but
that
lots of people
happen?
know about that. That was on my social media, so half the world knows about that.
Doesn't count. We want to hear something else then.
I paid for a meet and greet ticket, so it
How
was.
much did you pay to see Beyonce, if I may ask?
Well, I actually paid the same amount to meet Beyonce that I paid to see Taylor Swift last weekend and didn't get to meet her. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. But back to your darkest secrets.
Oh my God. Oh.
Do you
Maybe
prefer
Arnaud gives you
Katy Perry?
an example first to inspire you.
Okay.
Arnaud, what's one of your darkest secrets of the last, let's say, when did we record the last podcast? I think 3 months ago. So in the last 12 weeks, what was one of the darkest things you've done?
Haven't really done anything dark. So at the moment, I'm running a lot because I want to qualify to run the New York Marathon. So I've run a few marathons before, but never been able to get that qualifying time and to, in order to get to New York and do it. So yeah, this is some other things that I've been working on the personal level for the last 12 weeks that since we last chatted. And so yeah, that's
Okay, see, it was very easy. Over to Daryl again.
it. I'm really boring. I just am enjoying summer in Perth at the moment, going to the beach, and we just had fringe on. So I've had a pretty boring summer, really. Just been hanging out at the beach and no dark secrets hanging in my closet.
Oh well, oh well. I'm sure next time at a networking event we give you a couple of wines and we find out more.
That would help. Yeah, that might help. Do this at 5 o'clock in the afternoon after a wine.
Yeah, noted.
What about you, Timo? What's been going on?
Look, for me, I'm running a Spartan race actually in 48 hours or 36 hours. And I haven't prepared at all. So that's going to be a big suffer for me. I've prepared obviously a lot for the Australian Open, done a lot of tennis preparation. But it's very different to preparation for Spartan race. Like, it's pretty much opposite. So I will have a very interesting time there. That's one thing. And the other thing is to be published soon. Yeah, that's all I can say for now.
Oh, wow. Okay. Hmm. Awesome. That's happy a nice little teaser. Yeah, absolutely. Very happy.
Yeah, awesome. Because Anu also has the tendency and the hobby to kind of announce things on this podcast that are not published about me in any case. So and I'm mysterious now.
I love it.
Anyhow, so last but not least, give us, if you have to describe your time with time in one word, what's the slogan? What's the boom? What's the hashtag?
Mind-blowing.
Love that.
Wow. Yeah.
Very good. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your time. We're actually already over time. Thanks for sharing everything. I really appreciate it, because sometimes it can be a bit difficult to share because it's a personal story in the end, although it's professional, but it's also personal. So I really thank you for being open there and sharing that with us.
Pleasure.
Despite having a French person on the podcast. I missed you, Arno. I missed you. I have to let it all out in episode one.
Such an easy target. I don't mind it.
All right, you may say the farewell, Anu. You go for it.
Well, look, you know, thank you again, Daryl, for your time today, and congratulations on your graduation. I'm so glad that actually, because you said that, you know, you wish you had done that before. I'm so glad that you finally participated in the program. I'm also really glad for the community in WA that you say you want to get involved with time, which is really, really good, because obviously, you know, like, Charlie needs some support, because she's great. We know, but she can't do everything by herself. And for the travel community in WA, I think it's always going to be extremely good that we have more presence there, because the pandemic has really decimated that. And hopefully we can, you know, like, if time can be a tool to grow that community again, already really vibrant and very unique, and, you know, I know a few people in WA that I really love. Thank you again for being on the podcast, and we'll see you very soon.
Pleasure. Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.